Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 20. Starting in verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all day idle? They say unto him, Because no man has hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. And when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired, about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden of the heat of the day. And he answered one of them, and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that is thine, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil, because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. You see, there's a few things in here that happen between the laborers and the householder. The householder agreed with the laborers. He made a covenant with them. If you serve me, I will do for you what is right. In other words, if you receive what I have for you, then you will receive what is right. If you commit your day to me, then you will in your experience receive what is right. As a born-again believer, I can have the righteousness of God imparted to me in positional truth. But as the believer who has laid down his life for the kingdom of God, I receive the experiential truth. And there is a very big difference. And the Lord said to them, If you serve me, I will give you that which was right. But they, for some reason, felt that they had a burden that they bore. And the burden was not a fair burden in their mind. Because that which was right was given to them, and that which was right was also given to those who bore no burden in their mind. But there was only one reason why they felt that they bore a false burden. Because they in fact did bear a false burden. You see, one of the things that plagues believers is false burdens. It is not for the believer to take a false burden upon himself. And even in the service of God, it is entirely possible for us to operate in false burdens. But you see, there is the thing. We are not to take on these false burdens. As a matter of fact, we are not to have any burdens in our lives of that sort. Isn't that what the Savior told us? In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 39, you have a very unique sovereign case for certain believers, that they received a promise. For example, Abraham received the promise, and he received the initial aspects of that promise inasmuch as he did see Isaac and he did see his grandchildren. What he didn't see was the nation that was born out of them, which he was also promised. And we are like that as believers. We receive a promise from God, and we in fact do receive that promise at the right time. But what we do not always see is the full reward of that promise, like Abraham. So in that sense, although God may give a promise and we receive that element which God had for us, we do not know the full reward of having entered into the promises of God. The full reward of having entered into the promises of God will not come in our lifetime. We can only enter into the promises of God, but their influence will carry on for generations. We were saying the other day during the rap, can you imagine the person who won the person who won Billy Graham? They entered into a promise of at least an element of their calling whereby they had the Holy Spirit in them moving in such a way that they won somebody to Christ. And then that person, they want somebody to Christ. But the first person, that part of their promise, part of their full reward, is that which the second person bore as fruit of the Spirit. And in this particular case, the fruit of the Spirit was not like internal spiritual fruits. It was the fruit of their life in the Spirit, where souls are won unto eternity. But that person also does not know their full promise because they want another person to the Savior. And that person won hundreds and thousands, perhaps millions of people to the Savior. And every one of those people is a contribution to their promise. The first one, the first one's promise comes from the third one's life. In fact, Paul the Apostle, his promise is not full yet. Abraham received Isaac. God said, you're going to bear a son, and it's going to be from your wife, and he's going to be of your seed, and he's going to be a mighty nation. And he did see his son. And he saw his son have sons. What he didn't see is the mighty nation. So we received an element, the initiation of the promises, but the full reward, the full fruit of the promises of God, we can never completely see. Because they carry on for generations beyond our lives. This is what happened to many of the saints. This is what happens to us as saints, where we do not know the full reward until we go home to be with the Lord. Until the Bema Seat, and only then we will learn what the full reward actually is of having received the promises of God. You see, in Hebrews 39, and these all having obtained a good report through faith. What is a good report through faith? What report? What people are saying about them? People maligned these people. That was not their good report. The good report is the good confession that the Son makes to the Father of a believer's life. That they did not deny Him in their daily lives, in the details of their life, in their experiences. They did not deny Him. And so He does not deny them before the Father, but confesses with a good report at the Bema Seat. This person has taken advantage of their opportunities. This person has received what I have for them. This person loved you with all his heart. This person took from you that love which you have for him. This person was motivated by faith, love of God. This person, when you said something, they responded to you. This person received the initiation of the promises so that they would have generations of impact. Your lives, when you respond to the Word of God, when you respond to the faithfulness of God, when you respond to the promises of God, when you receive the things of God, your lives, you may feel like your life is not much, but your lives have generations upon generations of impact. The impact does not end till the day you go home to be with the Lord, and that's the end of your opportunities. But your full reward is not going to be realized until the Bema Seat. Paul does not know his full reward. Abraham does not know his full reward. Moses does not know his full reward. Noah does not know his full reward. And neither does Adam. None of them yet know their full reward. Because the fruit of their lives is impacting this generation. Every time we read about Moses and it builds our faith, every time we read an epistle from Paul and it builds us in the Word of God, every time we are encouraged by the life of David, every time we are instructed by the life of Adam, a reward is added to them because the fruit of their lives is producing fruit in my life. And without them, we are not rewarded, and without us, they cannot receive their full reward. God, having provided, in verse 40, some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. God, having provided a better way for us, why didn't they receive the full reward yet? Why don't they know what it is yet? So that we could receive something. And in verse 1 of chapter 12. Wherefore, triple compound inferential participle, a conclusion of emphasis. Therefore, with emphasis, because of this very thing, that they, because of us, could not receive the full promise, the full reward, so that we could be partakers of that promise and that reward also. For this cause, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run the race. But we can only run the race if we lay aside the weights. You cannot run a race carrying a great deal of weights. You won't finish. This is the burden. We are to lay it aside. And even in the service of God, even as we seek first in His kingdom, even as I can try to respond in sincerity to the will of God and to the call of God, to the Word of God, to the things of God, even as I try to respond, if it is something that is of my own striving, rather that which the Holy Spirit produces in me, it is a burden to me. There is no joy in that. It's a burden to me. And it does not mean that the world can give me joy. It is the fact that I am trying to do it like the world would do it, except now in a religious context. If it is a burden, you're doing it wrong. If it's a burden, you're doing it wrong. Lay it aside. In other words, cast down the imagination of high things. In 2 Corinthians 4, cast down the imaginations and high things that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. Those imaginations and high things are burdens to you. Those things of self-consciousness are burdens to you. Those things of wrong thinking are burdens to you. Those things of legalistic mentalities are burdens to you. Those things of lascivious mentalities are burdens to you. Cast them down. Lay aside those weights. You cannot run with them. Lay them aside. Hey, listen. How would you like to have the Apostle Paul's rewards? But we are told in Hebrews 11:30-12:1 that those rewards are intended for us. We are to share in their rewards. And just as in a ministry whereby the congregation is one heart and faithful to the pastor and to the vision of that church, they will receive the pastor's rewards. When we are one heart and one vision with the teachings of the great apostle, we will receive that apostle's rewards. So cast down the burdens that would separate you and not allow you to run in that element of reward, in that element of a mentality whereby you are one in heart with the Word of God. Cast it down. Because the rewards that those men will receive were intended for you also. This is why Satan tries to distract. One of the reasons is so you won't receive rewards. He doesn't want you to have more than he did when he was Lucifer. But you are intended for so much more. Because we are not created angels as wonderful and magnificent as those beings are. We are created the bride of Christ. This is why they minister to us rather than the other way around. Because we are the bride of Christ. And the fullness of the bride of Christ has a fullness of promise. And the fullness of the bride of Christ has a fullness of reward. And that reward is meant to be mine. And so Paul, in the things that he learned, imparts them to me through the Bible. And I receive them and they become integrated into my frame of reference. And now I have the same life of God that Paul had in his life, and Paul and I receive the same reward, albeit we may have a different calling. We are one in heart. Abraham. The rewards of Abraham. And yet without me, he should not be made perfect. We can enter into these things by laying aside every weight that does so easily beset us. How many people embrace their weights? And yet those are the very things that are holding them back. And they embrace them because of a self-conscious fear apart from a God-conscious faith. Whereby they don't trust that God will do as He has said. And so they embrace something out of fear. Isn't this why people turn to immorality or drugs, alcohol? Isn't this why people turn to worldliness or legalism or lasciviousness of other types? Isn't this why people turn to illicit relationships? Believers do this. They lose that way. There is a full reward that is intended for the believer. Lay aside every weight that will steal your reward. You see, we look unto Jesus in verse 2 of Hebrews 12. Who is the author and the finisher. He implemented the faith in me and He perfects it. And He causes those things to come to pass. Get this. This is important for you to understand. Faith, on my part, touches God's heart. Trust, on my part, touches my heart. Do you understand? Faith, on my part toward God, touches God's heart. But when I trust God, then my heart is touched. God will act on the basis of my faith. But great peace have they that love thy word, and nothing shall offend them comes on the basis of my trust toward Him. That peace that passes understanding comes from trusting. The according to your faith be it unto you comes from faith. My faith touches God's heart, but trust touches mine. I can have faith and have burdens. The laborers had faith that the householder would pay them and do that which was right to them. But because they had a false burden, they took up a weight that beset them. They did not recognize the kindness that was done to them and the opportunities they had. But they still received from God. Can you imagine what it would have been like for them had they simply trusted His character and the reward that they would have had and the joy they could have experienced instead of a burden in the heat of the day? So I lay aside those weights, the self-conscious weights. I lay aside the self-orientation, the temper, the moods, the anger. I lay aside the cravings and the lust patterns. I lay aside the things that appeal to me, to my natural way of thinking in the world, in my Adamic nature. I lay them aside. And as Paul said, I count it all lost. Why? Because it's all, as he said, dung. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. I lay aside those burdens and weights. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, this is how I lay them aside. I look unto my Savior. I am God conscious rather than self conscious. In the desert, the Israelites were self conscious and died, but when they became God conscious, they lived. And so I look unto in God consciousness to my Savior, who is both the initiator and the completer of my faith, who for the joy that was set before Him. What joy? He had a promise. Hey, God gave Himself a promise. Did you know this? God gave Himself a promise. Go to the cross and the bride is yours. God gave Himself a promise. And so He had joy and He endured the cross. Because the joy was set before, what joy? The bride was set before Him. That's us. We were set before Him. And He ignored, despising the shame does not mean that He hated it. It means that He esteemed it lightly. He paid no attention to the shame. And He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He would not pick up a burden. He would pick up the promise that He had for Himself. He picked up the love that He had for us. And everything else became nothing. When I become very aware of the love of God, of the call of God, the will of God, the promises of God, the character of God, the mercy of God, the gentleness of God, when I become very aware of these things in my life, The cross is a delight to me. And I don't hate the shame. I don't even think about it. It's not on my radar screen. And then I come unto the Savior. Right? Isn't that what He said in Matthew 11:28? Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All of you that have these weights and these burdens, come unto Me and I will give you rest. And how will that rest be produced in my life? Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. And that is not like the yoke that people sometimes, like in the farm animal, that is the yoke of a student. Students used to put this thing upon their shoulder, this scarf-like thing upon their shoulders. And that was the yoke that it was talking about. And learn of Me, become a student of Me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. You will find kindness and gentleness from Me. And I will be good to you, He is saying, if you come unto Me just as you are. I will be good to you. And I will be kind and gentle toward you. And though you may have failed, I will not treat you with harshness or condemnation or guilt or unkindness. I will be good to you and merciful. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. I live in God consciousness, and I find rest unto my soul. I take in doctrine. Guys, this is imperative. You will have no rest for your soul if doctrine is not alive in your soul. Do you understand this? If you are familiar and casual towards the Word of God, you do not receive it every day, there will be no rest for your soul. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. I will not give you a false burden, He said. If you have a heavy burden, then you're doing it wrong. If you think God's burden on you is heavy, then you are deceived. It is not heavy. It is light. And that burden produces rest. He didn't say He would give you no burden. He said He would give you His burden. And His burden produces rest. No burden produces leanness. His burden produces rest. This is why, if we want to go after Him, if we want Him in our lives, we need that cross. The cross gets rid of my burdens. The cross takes those things that are in my life that are difficult, that are hindrances, and it takes them away. Show me someone who has a lot of difficult hindrances, and I don't mean details of life, and I don't mean satanic attacks. I mean internal mental hindrances. Show me this person, and I'll show you someone who has not picked up a cross and who bears very heavy burdens. But the cross in my life eliminates heavy burdens and produces rest. And when I am more rested, I am able to go after Him and follow Him. And I am able to receive the fullness of the reward that I have. And I am able to enter into the promises of God, the full promises of God. And albeit I cannot necessarily see the end result of those promises, like Abraham could not see the great nation, although he saw Isaac, the day will come when I do see him. and I receive the full reward because I've laid down those heavy burdens and I've taken on His. Amen.